First Corinthians chapter 3, short few verses, verses 16 and 17, and Paul the Apostle writes this: "Don't you yourselves know that you are God's temple and that the Spirit of God lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and that is what you are." This is the word of the Lord. Jesus, we thank you for your word today. It's alive, it's powerful, and it's effective. And so we celebrate your word today. We dig into it. Speak to us now in Jesus' mighty name. Today, I want to speak to you from this subject. As we close this series out, glory to glory, I want to speak to you from this subject. It's not a building, it's a temple. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, as you're sitting down, find your neighbor. Tell them you're the best looking thing I've sat next to all week long. Thank you, Lord. Y'all excited to be in church today? Y'all excited to be in church today? Come on. Hey, stay in a posture of faith today, because we're going to, I'm not going to preach very long today, because we want to make sure that we can have a sacred moment as we give for those of us who came prepared to give today. I want to open up this afternoon with a quick thought, and I don't know if you've ever realized this before or not, but how many of you, show of hands, how many of you have ever tried to use something in a way that it wasn't designed to be used? Show of hands. Come on, so like a therapy moment, right? I don't know, we do this with all kinds of different things. My kids have an uncanny way. Parents in the house today, come on, how many of you know what I'm talking about? Kids have an uncanny way of using things in a way that it wasn't meant to be used. Can I get an amen in church today? They'll grab a hold of tools in my garage, and then I'll go out and find them misplaced or not where I put them. And then I'm like, what were you using this for? And they'll give me some weird idea or thing that they came up with to use my screwdriver for, and I find myself saying that, but that's not what that's used for. Come on, any parents know what I'm talking about? I remember going outside one day, and Justice said he has a fascinating way of inventing new things and then trying to get everybody on board with it. But I walked out to the front of my house, I think it was last summer, and he was getting ready to place his after he had done it, he was getting ready to place his sister on a skateboard at the top of the hill, sitting down on it, and he had created a box and put that around her and attached it to the skateboard, creating a kind of go-kart for her, and then was gonna just send her down the hill with no steering apparatus, no way to brake this thing. And I'm like, "Son, what are you doing?" And he's like, "I made a go-kart." And I'm like, "That's not what that is used for." And so I find myself with my kids repeating this line over and over and over again. And here's the truth that I want us to grab a hold of today. Understanding what something is helps us know how it should be interacted with. How many of you would agree with me today? That in understanding what something is, it helps us know how it should be interacted with. And this is true for all kinds of things in our lives, and especially true when it comes to the church. And this is what Paul the Apostle is driving at as he pens these verses that we've just read in verses 16 to 17. Now, Paul's going to use a very specific word when describing the church here in verses 16 and 17. The word that he uses is the word temple. Everybody shout temple. Temple. Everybody shout temple. Temple. This is a word that carries a lot of connotation to it. So for some of us, depending on faith background or where we grew up, the word temple comes with a very loaded ideas attached to it. I want us to try to pull back from those preconceived ideas and notions, if you will, because Paul's using the word, and it's found right here in Scripture for us to grab a hold of. He uses this word to bring an object lesson or an illustration to the Corinthians and subsequently you and I. And that lesson is a lesson in distinction. In other words, by using the word temple to describe the church, Paul is inferring some very specific truths concerning distinctions that should mark the church as they did the temple in the Old Testament. You with me still today? Mark Bonington, in his book, New Temples in Corinth, writes about this, saying, Paul's use of temple language draws on three major theological themes associated with the temple in Jewish tradition. Moreover, these three themes each contribute to the consequent placing of a demand for holiness and ritual purity on both the individual and the people of God collectively. In other words, what he's saying is that the church, like the temple was in the Old Testament, should be a sacred place. A sacred place. A place that causes a little bit of awe and wonder. Fear and trembling. I'm not going to lie to you. I haven't said this actually in any other service. I'm going to say it today. The one thing that frustrates me at times about modern buildings, even though this is what we're getting ready to do as a church, is how many of you would agree with me? There's something about old historic buildings that causes sacredness. And so I get it. I understand. When you walk into this place, you see a 972-foot screen. It's all technologically advanced, and we've got apps, and we've got QR codes, and we have all of these things. And if we're honest, it pulls us away from some of that sacred space that we desire to be in. But at the end of the day, it's not a building that makes something sacred. It's about what's happening in the building that makes it sacred. And so sacredness should be a part of our church, whether it looks like Dune or old historic buildings with stained glass. Most theologians agree that when studying this particular section of scripture, Paul was most definitely looking back at Jewish temple tradition in the Old Testament to help the Corinthians understand the sacred nature and distinction that is to be the church. He was not saying that the church replaced the temple of the Old Testament, but rather he was saying there were some things about the temple of old, some distinctions that should mark the church, and those distinctions should mark us today. Jesus himself would talk about these distinctions, and he'd actually hold the temple accountable to them in real time if we were to go back and read Matthew 21, as we're going to in just a moment. The theologian N.T. Wright would comment that the church is distinctive in its call to live according to the values of the kingdom of God rather than the values of the world. To be distinctive is to be something that stands out, does not blend in, does not conform, does not hide, and does not shrink back. To be distinctive is to be what Jesus describes in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, when he says, "You are the salt of the earth." Come on, someone shout salty. Salty. Come on, everybody, look at your neighbor and say, "You're salty." Don't say so. How many of you would acknowledge today that salt is distinctive? How many of you know when you got a little extra salt in your meal? How many of you know when a little extra salt was sprinkled in that thing? Why? Because it's distinctive. It has a unique taste. It does a unique thing where it's applied. And so Jesus says, but if the salt should lose its taste, how can it be made salty? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. Now he's going to shift. He's going to talk about another distinctive thing. How many of you would acknowledge today that light is distinctive? How many of you know if I were to shut the lights off in the building, if I said, "Team, shut the lights off," it would change what's happening in here. Right. Yeah. And for some of us, if we left them off just a little bit longer, you might start getting a little bit nervous. Why? Because you want the light on. Yeah. It's distinctive. It does something. So he says, not only are you salt, but you are light. And then he says, you're a city situated on a hill and it cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Come on, do I got any old school church people today? So in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. That's what it means to be distinctive. Now, you and I play a role in the distinctive nature of the church as well. Once again, using language that images the Old Testament and temple language, Peter will tell us who we are as we put our faith in Christ and live distinctive lives. Listen to what he writes, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. He says, therefore, rid yourself of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all slander. How many of you would agree those are some good things to get rid of? Yeah. Like newborn infants, desire the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow up into your salvation. If you've tasted that the Lord is good. Come on, is there anybody in this church today that have tasted that the Lord is good? Come on, is there anybody today that would say that miracles have been, that God has been good to me? You've tasted it. And how many of you know you go back to the things that taste good? As you come to him, a living stone rejected by people but chosen and honored by God, you yourselves as living stones, a spiritual house, are being built to be a holy priesthood to do what? To offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Love it. He's going to go on to say in verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You see the temple language that's being used here? He's saying when you come into this place, you're not just a church person. You didn't show up just to attend today. He's saying you're a holy people, a royal priesthood. And what is our role? Our role is to come in here and offer spiritual sacrifices. What do those things look like? Well, it's doing what we do today. It's clapping our hands. It's singing these worship songs. It's lifting our hands. It's praying over one another. It's being in fellowship. It's getting into God's word. And as we will do today, it is through sacrificial giving. Yeah. Spiritual sacrifices. The late Timothy Keller would comment by saying the church is not meant to be a reflection of the world, but a reflection of the kingdom of God. And so what does this have to do with our legacy offering today? Well, for those of us who are giving today, participating today, I want us to understand that we're not building a building. I want us to understand that we are not renovating a building. We are building a temple. And that makes it so much more significant. And so before we bring our gifts today, I just want to take a moment to look at these four distinctives that marked the temple and that should mark us as a church today. And I pray these things would carry us into the future that God has for us as a church. Need your help. Everybody shout number one. That's the first thing. We should be a place of prayer. This side over here is with me. Let's go. Come on, somebody. We should be a place of prayer. Prayer. Now, we're going to read a section of scripture, and it's an interesting section of scripture because it's right on the heels of Jesus's triumphant entry. Remember, we're going to talk about this moment in these next few weeks as we lead towards Easter, but he's going to be on the back of a donkey, and people are going to line up in the street, and they're going to be shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, in the highest, and then he's going to find himself arriving at the temple, Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 through 13. Watch what happens. Jesus went into the temple, and he threw out all of those buying and selling. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of thieves. Wow. See, Jesus's commentary was in reaction to the temple losing its distinctiveness. Jesus says, this is what it should be, a house of prayer, and this is what you have made it, a place for commercial transactions. In other words, he was saying that it had lost its distinctiveness, and he deals with it forcibly. I want us to hear something today, church, about prayer that's really important, and it's this, that prayer is not a religious duty of the church. It is a liturgical distinctive that brings life, breath, and vibrancy to the people of God. Maybe here's another way to say it. Prayer should be the language of the church. But too often, complaint is the language of the church. Fear is the language of the church. Doubt is the language of the church. I don't know about you, JT brought sexy back. I think the church should bring prayer back. It's the third service, guys. Did you hear we're starting a fourth one? Oh, we'll talk about that one next week. Prayer should be the language of the church. Do you go to complaint first or prayer first? Do you go to fear first or petitions first? The church is commanded to pray. All throughout the Bible, we see it happening. And it was happening no matter what was happening around them. All forms and types of prayer, understood as petitions, intercession, thanksgiving. You know, you don't have to have big, old English, King James words to pray. You don't have to spit when you pray. Come on, somebody. It doesn't have to be loud, but it doesn't have to be soft. It doesn't even need to make sense sometimes. We just gotta pray. The great theologian MC Hammer said, "You gotta pray just to make it today." He was right. He was right. Today, as we bring our gifts and our legacy offering, we're gonna pray. We're gonna pray over them. And that may not sound significant to some of us, but it's the most significant thing we can do. See, it's one thing. Pastor Howie talked about this. It was a brilliant message. It's one thing to give a gift. It's another thing to pray over it and consecrate that gift. There's power when we pray over what it is that we're going to be doing today. Is the church with me today? Yeah. Number two, everybody shout number two. Here's the second thing the church should be, is it should be a place of power. It should be a place of power. Matthew chapter 21, verse 14, continuing on, watch what happens. So Jesus comes in, he overturns the tables. He's guys, get out of here, this is nuts. You've turned my house into something that it's not meant to be. It should be a house of prayer. And then watch what happens after he deals with some stuff. Watch what takes place. The blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. Place of prayer and a place of power. See, we know scripturally that the Spirit of God is in each of us as believers individually. But we also know that the Holy Spirit, the power of God, dwells corporately among us as well. We are baptized in the Spirit, each of us, as we place our faith in Jesus and are saved by him. But we also know that there is a dynamic where the Spirit of God is at work as we gather together as a church, or as Paul would describe, as a temple. This is why he says, "Do you yourselves know that you are God's temple and that the Spirit of God lives in you?" This is why he would tell them in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, that the words that he speaks to them, words spoken in church, are not words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. And he would also communicate in his second letter to the Corinthians in chapter 3, verses 17 to 18, that now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, oh, come on, somebody, there's freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so when you walked in here today, I just want you to be aware and understand that you can experience a freedom that you will not find anywhere else. There is a dynamic at work that we must understand, is that when we step into the sacred place of the temple, the Spirit of God is moving amongst us. He's healing bodies during worship and you didn't even know it. He's healing minds in worship and you didn't even know it. You don't need a man to pray over you. You just need the Spirit of God to move in you. Come on, somebody. There's nothing fancy in these hands right here.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good, Lord.
No, I'm stepping on some people's toes with that one. What we do is we create a place where the Spirit of God can move.
Come on.
That's why we do the things that we do, is we're trying to get faith in the room so that even for just one person today, you have enough belief to go, to step back away from your situation, and maybe you said this, I actually believe right now that God could heal this. Maybe there was a married couple today that you are on the verge, you're on the last one, and your hands gripped each other a little more tightly and said, maybe today we can find something by the Spirit of God that we can't find in our willpower. Some of you are thinking about that next hit that's potentially going to come after church today. And by the Spirit of God during worship, something started to happen inside of you. And you had a power source that you didn't have when you walked in here, because the Spirit of God was moving inside of you. Now you can walk out of here today and step away from the thing that you thought you were going to do. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we all with unveiled faces are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord. And we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. And this is from the Lord who is the Spirit. That's why it's vital that when we come to church, we do not come to watch, but we come to experience and receive. That means we come to participate. And we do this by showing up with faith, expectation, passion, openness, prayerfulness, humility, and surrender. Can I tell you an interesting thing that's happening in this third service today? Did you know that by your faith and expectation and the way that you are interacting in this moment, the preaching of God's word, different things are being pulled out and said right now that were not said in any other service? Come on. It's wild how that works. It's not because I need something. When we're engaged in faith, it extracts things. It's wild how it works. Half the stuff I'm saying right now is not even in my notes. Which gets dangerous. I love what we see happening in the church as we read the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4, verse 13, watch this, conveys a moment. But the Holy Spirit's moving powerfully in their midst. Listen to what it says. When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak the word of God boldly. I love that. They began to speak the word of God boldly. The Holy Spirit is not meant to make us weird. I mean, some of you it did, but... The Holy Spirit's not meant to make us weird. It's meant to make us bold.
Come on.
You see, God's power at work is typically for a functional process. The Holy Spirit, and the power of the Holy Spirit is not for you to have a spiritual experience. It's for you to be endowed with spiritual power.
Come on. Yeah.
To do something. To step into a situation that you couldn't otherwise step into.
Come on.
Some of you today are giving because of what the Holy Spirit has done inside of you.
Yeah.
Because for you to give the gift that you're giving today requires a power source that is not you.
Come on.
I can tell you what we're doing personally requires the Holy Spirit's power in us. Because if I'm honest, your humanity gets in the way, doesn't it? And you're like, oh man, but that'd be a rad vacation. Come on, somebody. Can I just be honest with you? Just because I'm a pastor means nothing when it comes to my humanity creeping up at different times. I need the Holy Spirit like you need the Holy Spirit. Eric and I had to pray over this thing. Why? Because my flesh doesn't want to. Come on, has anybody got flesh like I got flesh? Five of you. The rest of you are liars. So giving, as we're going to give today, is a Spirit-led and Spirit-filled act of purpose. Number three, everybody shout number three.
Three.
Number three, we should be a place of worship.
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah. Matthew 21, 15 through 16, it continues on. When the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonders that he did, and the children shouting in the temple. You would think, if you weren't looking at the scripture right here, you would think it was a lead up to say, oh my goodness, when they saw what was happening, they were their mind was blown, and they said, Jesus truly is God. But that's not what happened. They saw the wonders. They saw the children shouting in the temple, Hosanna, the Son of David. And they were indignant. And he said to them, do you hear what these children are saying? Jesus replied, yes. Have you never read? You have prepared praise from the mouths of infants and nursing babies. Here's what I love. What the children saw, the adults doing in the streets, they pulled it into the temple. What one generation sees another generation doing, they will mimic. But what one generation sees another generation sleeping on, they will sleep on it. So when you come in here and you're like, man, this place is a little uncomfortable with the type of worship that we're doing. Yep. Because I hope our temple's loud. Like it was in this service today. Y'all leaning in for worship. But can we still worship like that when things are going good in our life? Can we still worship like that when things are going bad in our life? Worship is a whole life activity. It's not just singing and clapping and lifting hands, but that's part of it. But it's what we're doing today as we give and as we serve people. And do you know worship is when you love somebody well? Some of you need to get this today. Worship is what you do unto God when you encourage somebody that you do not want to encourage. You ever tried that before? That'll hurt you. You're like, I don't want to encourage this person. I got other words for them, but Lord, give me words. That's worship. At the end of the day, Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel says this, that the truest expression, listen to this, the truest expression of a people's character is in its worship. In worship, we truly declare what we believe about God. It's why I think the church should be one of the most worship-filled places that there is. But how often do we go to concerts and we see people worshiped more than God? It's amazing. You watch these shows, I watch people's Instagram feeds and see them at country music shows and rock shows and rap shows and all kinds of other shows. The lead singer comes out and they throw their hands up. Oh, beer's flying everywhere. People losing their mind. Just so you know, no beer in church, okay? Stop. Going crazy. And then church on Sunday. It's not my personality, Pastor. Well, Luke Combs showed me something different. See, I'm feisty in this third service. Psalm 100 verses 1-5 says that let the whole earth shout triumphantly to the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. His people, the sheep of his pasture, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His faithful love endures for faithfulness over generations. Come on, does anybody have a shout in church today? Oh, don't come to the house just chilling. Oh, we got to come like every single, I'm coming in hot. What would happen? Oh, with just a faith in the room like there is right now. faithful love endures forever. As we participate in our legacy offering, we glorify God with all that we are, especially as we worship him today through our giving. Number four, last one is this. Number four, everybody shout number four. We should be a place of sacrifice. Within the temple, you'd find what is known as the altar. And the altar was where the sacrifices were brought and most times burned. I want to say this over our church today. The church needs to familiarize ourselves with the sacred act of sacrifice. We present ourselves, as Paul would say in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, as a living sacrifice. I have to say this today in this third service. See, this is what your faith does. It pulls things out. It's great. If it doesn't hurt, it's not sacrificial. And this is what's interesting on a day like today. Maybe you're new, you're a guest with us today, or maybe you've been here for a while. You knew that this moment was coming today as we'd be giving in our legacy offering. And we could say things like we get weird with the idea of money in church. But I find it fascinating because this area is the area that we get very defensive over because we don't know how to sacrifice in this way. Because for a lot of us, this issue is core to our heart. The way Eric and I are giving today, it hurts. It hurts. We're doing the same thing as so many other people today. And as we bring our offering, it's a sacrifice of praise, because here's the truth. Sacrifices make way for miracles. It's why God loved in such a way that it was sacrificial. And what did it do? It paved the way for a miracle. And that miracle is your salvation and my salvation as I put my faith and my trust and my hope in Jesus. Without the sacrifice, nothing's possible. Today, across two of our three services so far, people have been beautifully sacrificial. And today, in our last service of the day, we're going to do the same. And so I want to give us some clarifying things as we get ready to give in this moment. First, on your seats as you came in, I'm going to ask the team to take this from me. You should have found a brick, this brick right here. And if you're participating today, I want to ask that you take your gift, if you've brought it, because you've had the envelope for a couple weeks now, shove it in this box. You can just pop open the side, or if you need another slip, they're in the seat backs in front of you today. And I know now, even in this moment, some of you are already preparing to give and reconsidering what it is that you're doing today. So grab that box if you would. I want to ask those of you who maybe have already given on PushPay or sent a check or different things that have come in throughout the week for the legacy offering, still grab your box and grab a slip and just put your name on it and say already given, push pay or check or however you've done it, because we still want to pray over them today. Is that good with everybody? Yeah. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. We're going to take a few minutes to do this because I want it to be a sacred act. We're not doing something transactional. We're believing for the power and the presence of God to fall in this place right now as we sacrificially give. Come on, somebody. And here's what we're gonna do is we're gonna watch a video. The worship team is gonna come back in. They're gonna lead us in worship. And the minute the team starts going after the video again, I wanna ask you to get up out of your chairs, stand to your feet. When you are ready to come up and give, we've got prayer partners that will all be down the front. Come place your gift on the altar and let us pray over you and then go back to your seats. Do not leave, okay? We have some people that jumped ship right after the second service. So please don't leave. Stay here because we want to pray collectively over these worship, and we're going to have a moment together for some last minute details. Is that good with everybody? In the name of Jesus, I believe that he will do exceedingly and abundantly above what we could ever ask, hope, or imagine. To God be the glory. We are not building a building. We are building a temple for the honor of his name. In Jesus' mighty name, watch the screens. No matter how you came in here, God has a bigger purpose for your life than you may realize. He has a future, he has a hope, a reason, and a call upon your life. You are not just taking up space, but rather are called to impact the space that you occupy. No amount of sin, no amount of brokenness, no amount of despair, no amount of hopelessness, no amount of misdirection can shake what God has prepared for you, because you have a new identity. You have a family to belong. You have a security that is unshakable, and you have a purpose to walk in. Jesus, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Church, I want to welcome you to the house that God is building you. I want to welcome you to being a living stone. I want to welcome you to a purposeful identity. I want to welcome you to a place and a space that God says, no matter what has been, I've still got something for you. I want to welcome you to new life. I want to welcome you to a greater reality. I want to welcome you to the place that God says it's all washed away and I've got something greater for you. I want to welcome you to the house that God is building.
Miracle. That's a miracle. Open door, after open door, here it comes. So get ready for another one, 'cause another one is on the way. Miracle after miracle. Open door, after open door, here it comes. So get ready for another one, 'cause another one is on.
give faith. Come on, faith. Faith. Hey. And they did. Father, we thank you. Come on, could you stretch your hands out towards all of these gifts today? Online, if you're giving today, would you just throw a brick in the emoji section? In the chat section? Come on, just put a brick in there. Said, I'm giving today to Legacy Offering. With our hands stretched towards each and every single one of these gifts, Father, we consecrate them right now in the name of Jesus. We set them apart. Brick by brick. May your temple be built. It's not a building. It's a temple where we pray, where there's power, where we worship, and where we sacrifice. God, I thank you for every single gift given across this entire day today. And we pray that you would do exceedingly and abundantly above what we could ever ask, hope, or imagine, God. We thank you that you are true to your word, that he who began a good work is faithful to complete it. God, we declare today that this is not the end of a something, it is the beginning of a something. Something that we never thought was possible, God. We pray for lives to be changed. God, we pray for restoration to take place. We pray for addictions to be broken, for cancer to be healed, for salvation to be found. This is the beginning. In Jesus' name, every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to ask you a question. Have you said yes to Jesus? And I don't know who this is for, but there may be some people in here today kicking the tires on faith. You've been here a few times, checking it out. But now today you'd say, man, I need this Jesus you've been talking about, this Jesus you've been shouting about, this Jesus we've been worshiping all day. So we're going to pray a prayer. We call it the prayer of salvation, but there's nothing fancy in the words, but rather from the heart which these words come today. And if you would say, man, I'm done doing life my way. I want to make Jesus Lord of my life, and I want to follow his way. Would you make this your prayer today? We're all going to do it together so we don't leave anybody out. As loud as we can, would you all repeat this after me? Everybody say, Jesus, giving you everything. My past, my right now, putting my future in your hands. Save me, change me, and make me new. And I declare in this moment, that I'm gonna follow you all the days of my life. Today, I am surrendering to you. I am making you Lord of my life. I am repenting of my sins. I am turning from my way, and I am following your way. In Jesus' mighty name.